We are in a New Testament survey. As you know, we're doing one book a Sunday. And right now we are in a section called the Pastoral Epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. As you know, Paul met Timothy in Acts chapter 16, and basically Timothy was his son in the faith. Timothy was his right-hand man. He discipled Timothy. He was close to Timothy. They had a father and son relationship. And then Paul left Timothy in Ephesus to pastor the church in Ephesus. Paul also had a son, Titus, and Paul left Titus on the island of Crete to lead the church there. And what Paul did was he wrote a letter to Timothy to give him advice on how to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. That is our letter of 1 Timothy. And then Paul wrote a letter to Titus telling him how to be the pastor on the island of Crete. That is our letter, Titus. So Paul wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. But then Paul got old, and the time for his death was near. And he wanted to write Timothy one last letter. And it's a treasure. It's a treasure. Praise God, Trinity Baptist, that the New Testament is not 26 books, it's 27. Paul gave Timothy a second letter right before his death. And it's this beautiful letter of 2 Timothy. My father wrote me a lot of letters, and I have most of them in a notebook. And most of them are signed to my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, Dad. And he puts a scripture on the bottom. And most of the letters have a passage that we find in 2 Timothy. And I'll point that out to you later. That's why instead of my usual preaching Bible, I have my father's Bible with me today. Because 2 Timothy is a letter from a father to a son at the very end of his life. And it is incredible advice on how to be a pastor. Would you please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have this beautiful Bible, to have the New Testament, to have the Old Testament, to have the words of Moses, the words of Isaiah, the words of Samuel, the words of our Lord Jesus, and the words of Peter and John and the Apostle Paul. To have the writings of your apostles and prophets before us. Because your church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So we thank you today for the opportunity we have to deepen and strengthen the foundation of the church today as we look at this letter to 2 Timothy. Oh, please open our hearts. May we grow as a church. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so powerful to study the Bible, to remember that the Bible is written by real people. And it is written to real people. That fact makes it real to me, and I hope it makes it real to you too. I want you to picture Paul, an old man, a real human, a real man, just like you and me. And he had a relationship with this young man named Timothy, and as he gets to the end of his life, he writes him a second letter. It's a gem. Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Brothers and sisters of Trinity, feel the letter. Feel it. He's writing to his beloved son at the end of his life. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of discipline. Paul reminds him of this same thing in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, use the gift you had when I laid my hands on you. And number one in your notes is kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. Now you cannot study any book of the Apostle Paul without getting the gospel. He can't help himself. He just gives you the gospel over and over and over again in every single book. We'll see that next week with Titus. Titus has two incredible gospel statements, two of my favorites. But look at the gospel here in 2 Timothy. Paul can't just give him advice. He's got to always remind him of the gospel and look at it in chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed, Timothy, of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. What gospel, Timothy? Look, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I've believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Isn't that incredible? Paul is going to charge Timothy. Timothy, what you have been entrusted with, guard. Paul is going to say that to Timothy. He's going to say, Timothy, you have been entrusted with the gospel. Guard it. Protect it. But before Paul says that, he always starts with the gospel, doesn't he, Trinity? We know that from studying Romans and Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians. Before Paul ever gives a command, before Paul ever tells you what to do, he tells you what Christ has done. Because that is the foundation, isn't it? Christianity does not start with what you do for God. Christianity starts with what God does for you. That's the foundation. So Paul is going to say, Timothy, you have been entrusted with the gospel. Guard it. But before he says that, Paul says, I know that God will guard what I have entrusted to him. Praise his holy name. Verse 13, retain the standard of sound words. He just gave him the gospel. Then he says, retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who indwells us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What a beautiful gospel. And again in verse 14, he says, Timothy, guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. He's passing it on. Paul has passed on a treasure to Timothy, and that treasure is the gospel. And he says, guard it. Trinity Baptist, every generation must do that again. Every generation must do that again. This generation in this room right now must guard the gospel. We must pass it on to the next generation, and that next generation must guard the gospel. And you will find that this is Paul's major theme in this letter as he gives Timothy his dying words. He says, Timothy, guard the gospel. Protect it. Oh, brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that the gospel has been guarded for 2,000 years? That in 2018, we have the same gospel that Paul gave to Timothy. Number two in your notes. Paul says to Timothy, do not be ashamed, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. Number three, retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me. And number four, guard through the Holy Spirit the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Verse 15. You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus. You see, this is a real letter with real people. Timothy is at Ephesus and he says, hey, you remember this guy. You remember what service he did. And then he names two other guys and says, these guys turned away from me. It's a real letter from real people. Picture me up here talking about real people and naming real names that you know. This is a real letter. Chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Paul, in chapter 1, he says, Timothy, guard the gospel. But you know what Paul knows? Paul knows that Timothy won't last forever. Paul is about to die. In chapter 7, he says, the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But he knows that someday soon, Timothy will die too. So what does he say? He says, Timothy, find faithful men and entrust them with the gospel. Trinity Baptist Church, you should know that 2 Timothy 2:2 is one of the theme verses of your elder board. Carry Michael, Ben, and myself, we look at 2 Timothy 2:2 all the time because we know that is our job. We are to find faithful men, and we are to teach them the gospel. Because just as Paul knew that Timothy would one day be gone, your elders know that one day we will be gone. And someone will need to stand up here week after week, and they will need to give you the gospel. So we must entrust it. Number 5 in your notes. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Number 6, entrust the things you heard from me to faithful men who will teach others. Number 7, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. And number 8, consider what I say. Chapter 2, verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. You see, Paul just keeps reminding Timothy of all the truths of the gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It is impossible for God to not be trustworthy. Number 9, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Verse 14, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene among them, Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who've gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place. And they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. And Timothy, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. You see, there's two important things to Paul. As you read 1 Timothy and as you read 2 Timothy, two themes come up over and over again: Timothy's conduct and Timothy's teaching. Timothy's conduct and Timothy's teaching. This is what Paul is urging Timothy to pay attention to. You remember last week in 1 Timothy, we had this verse. It's on the screen. 1 Timothy 4, 11 and 12. Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery of the elders. Take pains for these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention, Timothy, to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear. In both 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul is saying to Timothy, don't neglect your spiritual gift. Kindle it up. Fan the flame. And then preach the word and be an example. Isn't that what you want from your pastor? That's what you should look for in your pastor. I'm telling you this. That's what you should look for in your pastor. He should be a good example of what a Christian man is. And then he should diligently preach the gospel accurately. Those are his jobs. Those are his jobs. Tom, go ahead and back up, and I'll give you 10 through 14. 10, remind them of the truth and charge them not to wrangle about words. 11, be diligent to present yourself a workman, handling accurately the word of truth. See, Paul is so concerned with the accuracy of the gospel because he knows that false teaching will spread all around the world. So he's urging Timothy, handle the word of God accurately. Number 12, avoid worldly and empty chatter. 13, flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And finally, 14, refuse foolish and ignorant speculations. Chapter 3. But Timothy, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. There's the command to Timothy. Avoid such men as these. Why? For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. If you're a parent, you always warn your children to avoid certain people. You see kids playing down the street, or you see kids at school, or you see kids at the market, and you warn your children, avoid people like that. And one really interesting piece of advice that I found here in 2 Timothy As Paul mentions to Timothy, he says, in the last days, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, ungrateful, unholy. And Paul says, stay away from those guys. Stay away from those guys. Number 15, avoid sinful men. Verse 10. Now you followed my teaching. I'm in chapter 3. You followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, Timothy, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, all scripture, Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, Timothy, you, so that you, Timothy, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You see, throughout the letter, Paul is about to die. And what is the one thing he keeps harping on to Timothy? Harping is a bad word. What is the one thing he keeps encouraging Timothy with? He says, Timothy, remember the word of God. Remember the word of God. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Remember those four things, Trinity Baptist, because he's going to jump right into them for chapter 4. He says, Timothy, in chapter 3, as he closes it, he says, Timothy, the word of God is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that you, Timothy, will be equipped for the task that I have left you with. I told you that my dad wrote me letters. And when I moved here to Trinity, my dad was alive for my first 10 years of serving you. And he kept sending me letters and sending me letters and sending me letters. It was the old-fashioned way. It was interesting. Out in front of my house, there was this metal box. And I open it, and there's an envelope with a piece of paper inside with a stamp. It was really an interesting way to be communicated with. But he'd get a letter, and I'd open it up, and there'd be a yellow pad from Office Depot and a handwritten letter. It was fantastic. But he would always sign it to my beloved son. And he would always leave a passage of scripture. And it was 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Take a look. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, Timothy, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. What if Timothy hadn't obeyed? And what if Onesiphorus hadn't obeyed? And what if Epaphroditus hadn't obeyed? And what if Irenaeus hadn't obeyed? And what if Polycarp hadn't obeyed? What if the false teachers had taken root and Timothy, out of timidity and fear and faithlessness, had caved in, and others had caved in, and the church fathers had caved in? Do you see what's at stake, Trinity Baptist? It's the gospel. The gospel must be passed on to the next generation. Will you do it? Those of you that are younger, Carrie will be gone. Micah will be gone. Ben will be gone. I will be gone. What will be preached from this pulpit 50 years from now? Will this building stand at all? Or will it be a gymnasium or a community center? Or a place where a false doctrine is preached? Paul, over and over again, says to Timothy, preach the word. Handle it accurately. Remember what you've been taught. Entrust it to other people. Because Trinity Baptist Church, those of you who are sitting in the pew, you know the gospel because faithful men passed it on. Faithful men studied it. Faithful men read the Word of God. Faithful men preached the Word of God. And now, 2,000 years ago, we have the gospel because of faithful men. And Paul says to Timothy, I solemnly charge you. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. That's the one thing you have to do, is to preach the word. And my father, as he wrote me letters week after week after week, as he knew I was working here, the one thing he told me over and over and over again, he said, young David, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, preach the word. Because my dad is gone. His voice is silent. He preaches no more. But he passed it on to me. And I pass it on to you. So that when I'm silent, someone will stand up here and they will preach Paul's gospel. And the next generation will experience the riches of Christ. Number 17. I'm sorry, Tom. 16. Continue in the things you've learned. 17. I solemnly charge you, preach the word. 18. Be ready in season and out of season. 19. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. 20. Be sober in all things. 21. Endure hardship. 22. Do the work of an evangelist. And 23. Fulfill your ministry. Chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says goodbye. Chapter 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, Timothy. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crissus has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. He says, Timothy, come quick. Make every effort to come to me now because all these guys have left. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. But Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. You see how this is a real letter? This is a real letter. You ever someone's coming to visit you and you send them a text, say, "Hey, when you come, bring the books. When you come, bring my jacket." You ever expect to find something like that in the Bible? When you come, bring my jacket. This is a real letter written by real people. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposes our teaching. At my defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudus and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you.